Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking out time from your busy, busy schedule to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, July 27th, 2023, and the question is, how hot is it today in St. Louis? And the answer is, it's so hot, and it will be so hot, that you could bake lasagna in your mailbox. That's how hot it's going to be today. 102 plus degrees Fahrenheit. Oh, wow. I just can't imagine it. Yet, part of my job at Chick-fil-A, part of it, is to go out and sweep the parking lot. So today I'm preparing to melt. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I want to focus in once again on the women of Iran. Do you realize it is 6 weeks away from today to the one-year anniversary when Mahsa Amini, the young Kurdish girl who was beaten in custody, we know that, and she died in a coma 3 days later, she began the Woman, Life, and Freedom Movement. Her death has caused an uprising that Iran has never witnessed, the government that is, since the Iranian Revolution. This September 16th, there is going to be a global rally all over the world, as all of us, including yours truly, will take part in a day of remembering Mahsa and what she stood for and what this woman life freedom uprising is all about. And since that day, there was a rumor, in fact, the New York Times perpetuated this rumor, that suddenly, because of this horrible incident involving Mahsa Amini, that the morality police going away, that they were going to come up with a different way to apprehend women, that is, unveiled women. And, of course, they're using cameras now and all the latest technology. And so somehow the fake news decided to say, well, look, you know what? They're kind of backing down. Let me tell you what, folks. Iranian women today faced increased violence from the morality police. They have not gone away. I want to really, really emphasize that. I have an article here from the Center for Human Rights in Iran. It has a picture on the front, and it's like in three different slides, if you will, of the morality police dragging a woman into the van, and her head almost hits the top of the van, which is probably what was one of the things that happened to Mahsa when she was arrested last year, September 13th. So they haven't gone away, and the violence is resuming because of the forced veiling patrols. The arbitrary arrests, the heightened discrimination, it's continuing. And they are continuing to patrol, of course, and there is no safety for women out on the streets. There is no dignity or any fundamental human rights out in the street for women. And this vehicle and foot patrols, the Gastier Shot as it's called, they deal with women for not complying with the state's forced hijab law. Remember, Mahsa Amini had a, but she was showing a few strands of hair. And that's not a good hijab, and that's why she was arrested. So we have these white band patrols out. And in this video on the Center for Human Rights article, Center for Human Rights in Iran article, it's showing a hijabless woman being assaulted by a veil-clad woman trying to force her into a white van. So for those of you who believe the fake news, get a grip. It hasn't gone away. They've continued to arrest those who would dare to disagree with this law. Actor Mohammed Sadeghi was live streaming a peaceful commentary against this abusive policy. And then he was arrested. And of course, at that point, he was trying to live stream his arrest. State security agents began blasting through the doors of his home without a warrant, of course. And they continue to harass and discriminate. This continues. July 18th. Actress Leela Bulukat, she became the latest individual to be sentenced to prison for allegedly not wearing a hijab. She has been ordered to serve 4 months in prison. That's a light sentence. And banned from working as an actress for 2 years, as well as banned from social media activity, now for 5 years. And the government has promised to pass legislation that would further punish and persecute women for choosing to wear what they want in public. How about that? To have the freedom to wear what you want is against the law. That includes punishments, fines, restriction on accessing bank accounts, denial of other services, confiscation of your vehicle, travel limitations, bans on online activity, imprisonment, and the chastity and hijab law, which is further persecuting women, is set to be ratified by mid-August. So this is what's going on. It continues to go on. Last year, President Ibrahim Raisi signed into decree a law which continues to persecute women, and now it's going to be even more involved law. So the Woman, Life, and Freedom movement is so important. I write about it in my newest book called Uprising, We Are the Revolution. In that book, you will hear and read articles about young women, the last night of their life, protesting against the hijab and how the government killed them. I'm talking about not only Mahsa Amini, but Hadas Najafi, Nika Shakarami, Azra Panahi, and the list goes on. Serena Ismail Zeta, there's story after story in there. But what I wanted to do this morning, I want you to hear from an expert on this. She is the founder of the Stealthy Freedom Movement in Iran, where women take off their hijabs and post their pictures on social media. She also has written a book called The Wind in My Hair. She lives here in the United States, but she's a dual citizen in the UK. She used to live in Iran, and she was a journalist. Masi Alinejad recently was interviewed on ABC News. It was a very good interview where she breaks down exactly what's going on. This is just from a few days ago, so I want you to take the time now to listen to Masi talk about what's going on in Iran. Let's listen.
Iranian forces announced a new campaign to force women to wear the Islamic headscarf, and the morality police are back on patrol a little less than a year since the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini. Joining us now is Iranian journalist, activist, Masi Alinejad. Masi, thank you so much, as always, for coming on the show. So we were talking last December. There had been this New York Times article that said that Iran was doing away with the morality police. At the time, you said, no, this is propaganda, and now here we are. What's your reaction to
here? First of all, thank you so much for mentioning that, because I was all over the media and saying that, no, this is fake news, misinformation, because the Iranian regime is really good at spreading spreading fake news around, and their propaganda was actually misleading the rest of the world that finally the people of Iran, women of Iran being, you know, free, there is no morality police. No, morality police has never gone anywhere. They were there using different tactics. For instance, they put cameras everywhere in the subway, universities, shops, and women were unveiled but identified by the police. Mm. They actually closed a lot of the stores who were giving service to unveiled women. Can you believe that? So now they announcing that morality police is back because they have the fear of women to take back to the streets shoulder to shoulder with men in the anniversary of Mahsa Amini, who got killed in the hand of morality police last September.
And so now, once again, they're saying that you can be arrested if you don't wear the hijab. There is this mandatory law, or face re-education. So this comes as no surprise to you.
No, because, look, I have been living under this kind of law. Mm. And for me, that's why I was always angry about morality police. We're talking about a regime that they don't have any morale, but they have morality police to harass women in the streets. Imagine, my sister, you go out here in America, you walk in the street, a bunch of people, bunch of officers comes to you and say that, oh, you're not properly covered. Oh, cover your hair. Oh, cover your... That's an insult.
Or be arrested.
You receive lashes. Not only being arrested, don't forget that. Nikah Shakarami, 16-year-old, got killed just because of waving the headscarf, burning the headscarf in public. And that is frustrating when I see that sometimes well-known female politician, Western leaders, they don't even get it that we are not fighting against a small piece of cloth. It is about our dignity. It is about a gender apartheid regime. And now, even fighting against compulsory job became a symbol of regime change. That's why the Islamic Republic is scared, because women became like a nightmare for this regime.
ABC News reporter Samaya Malakin has written about some of the various punishments that women face for not wearing their hijab. Among them, she talked about one woman who had to pay a fine of washing dead bodies in Tehran as a social service. In another case, a judge told an actress she needed to be referred to a psychological center due to antisocial personality disorder and her need to be seen via breaking norms. At any point in the last 10 months, let's say, would you say that things got better, at least for a short amount of time, or the optics?
Not at all. Look, you see that the numbers of women walking unveiled increased, but that's because women got fearless. It has nothing to do with the Islamic Republic. Why I'm telling that? Because if, according to New York Times, morality police was abolished, mm-hmm. then why women, the schoolgirls, were the target of chemical attack? Mm. Oh, suddenly they get rid of morality police, but they, you know, poison women? Then why a lot of protesters got executed? So that actually shows you nothing got better. They were busy oppressing women and men in other ways, different tactics. So for me and millions of people, the things get better when the regime is gone. When, like, you know, we want to have a country which become a land of tourism, mm. not terrorism. We want to have a country where, like, you don't see anyone burning the flag of America. We love to have secular democracy, and we deserve that.
Masi, what should America or other global superpowers be doing at this point to protect Iranian women?
Isolate the killers. Isolate the gender apartheid regime. You know, when I see that the U.S. government are back to the negotiation table, I've been warning for months and months that, you know, Rob Malley, the Iran's U.S. envoy for Iran, is not doing enough. Now he's under, you know, the investigation of the FBI. Believe me, we want the American government to support civil society. We want the Europeans to support Iranian women, not negotiating or having a deal with our killers, because this is how you empower them to oppress women more and more.
Masi Alinejad, always such an education, so much insight and value that you bring to our program when you come on. Thank you.
My dream is to invite you to my beautiful country, because you actually gave voice to many voiceless women. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Masi.
Hi, everyone.
It is always a pleasure to hear from Masi Alinejad, a journalist who used to live in Iran, grew up under the hijab law, knows about about the oppression of women and speaks from experience. The founder of the Stealthy Freedom Movement. You see it on social media all the time. Women removing their headscarves and showing that they will not in freedom of choice in a dictatorship government. The first story in my book, Uprising, comes from a personal experience with a dear friend named Modis, who lives in Mashhad, Iran. It was just a few months ago that Modis and her brother was detained by the government. In fact, her brother was under arrest, and through powerful intercessory prayer, I'm very happy to report that he was freed a few days later. But in the meantime, Modis, my dear friend, her computer was confiscated, her cell phone was confiscated, and lots of things in a negative way happened to her because she lives in a very dictatorship government. But prior to all of this happening, back in September of last year, I remember sitting in a break room at Chick-fil-A where I work. It was just a few minutes before the beginning of my shift, and I received this voice message on Telegram. And I noticed right away it was from my friend Modis. I hadn't heard from her in such a long time, and I immediately opened it up and listened to the message, and I was completely unprepared for what I was about to hear. This was right after the death of Mahsa Amini. And I want to read to you this article. The first article in my newest book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. I want you to hear the heart of Modis, my friend in Mashhad, as she pled with me. She said, Randy, please be our voice. Killing us. They're killing both young and old. Please be our voice. I got this message, like I said, it was just a few minutes before I started my shift. Chills ran up and down my spine. Tears filled my eyes. You know, I was gripped by this intense feeling of urgency. And when I heard this, I just banged my fist down on the table in frustration. The lives of my Iranian friends were in danger. And all I wanted to do at that moment was to be right there by their side and to fight with them. And prior to this message that I received, for the last 10 days, brave young women joined by men had been out on the streets in 110 cities across Iran. They had taken to the streets. They are outraged at the senseless, brutal death of Mahsa Amini, who had been arrested on September 13th for not wearing her hijab properly, for showing a few strands of hair. And this was such an important moment, because the cruel death of Mahsa Amini had sparked a revolution with thousands of Iranian men joining the revolution and taking to the street. They were outraged. So when I get this message from Modis, you know, I have just a few minutes before I have to start my job. And I told Mahsa right away, I said, Mahsa, I've been busy on my Facebook posting videos about what's going on in Iran, reporting on the struggles, and talking about this on my radio program, The Cross in the Desert. So I immediately sent back a voice message assuring Modis I would be her voice and the voice of all Iranians. And I pleaded with her in this message and told her I'd be praying for her safety. I said, Modis, please be careful. Randy, please be our voice. I cannot adequately express into words the awesome responsibility of being their voice. It is the passion, the driving force of my everyday life. It is the reason that I write their stories in my self-published books. It was right in the middle of this event, I remembered a time a few years ago on Skype when Modis shared with me a story. It was right before Nowruz, the Persian New Year in Iran. She told me this story when she was a student in, I guess, elementary school in Iran years ago, that she recalled this frightening incident one day where the teacher sternly warned all of the girls in the class that they had better wear their hijabs according to the Islamic law, are if not, that on Judgment Day, Allah would dangle them over the fires of hell by their hair. So, I mean, this is what Modest was subjected to in Iran as a young schoolgirl, the picture she had of God, not a God of love and mercy, but a God of fear and retribution that couldn't wait to punish his disobedient children. And you could hear when she shared the story in her trembling voice that that same little girl on Telegram sending me this message is now terrified once again and pleading with me to support them. And, of course, when I got that message and responded right before my shift, I just bowed my head in prayer for Modest. And I remembered the women who had recently been killed in Iran, Nika Shakarami for burning her hijab, Nahadis Majafi shot 6 times in the city of Karaj for taking off her hijab. It was horrible. There's nothing more important to me in my life than being a voice for my Iranian friends. And folks, I'm not doing this for money, fame, or popularity. I simply do it because I love them. And also do it because the Bible admonishes me to be their voice for freedom. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are unfortunate and defenseless. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and administer justice for the afflicted and needy, for those who cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9. Being silent in the face of injustice, cruelty, and the slaughter of human life is an egregious sin that lacks any sense of humanity or compassion. It was the great German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who courageously defended the church during World War II, and he was unafraid to stand up against Hitler. He rebuked the weak and afraid. He said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." If Bonhoeffer were alive today, I believe he would raise an accusing voice toward the mainstream media for their silence and ignorance when it comes to the human rights of the Iranian people. They are willingly silent in the face of evil, and we need a prophetic voice today that will be unafraid to confront the evil of silence. Economic ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran, they're lining their pockets with profits while ignoring their desperate cries. And, of course, that is the Biden administration, a prime example of sinful appeasement for the sake of a legacy. They are willing to sit down across the table from this Paris regime and negotiate a so-called nuclear deal instead of rebuking them for their oppressive policies against innocent people and speaking up for human rights. That's what Obama did. In 2015, he gave billions of dollars of sanction relief money to the Iranian government that went on to spend that money on furthering terrorism in the Middle East. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. I want you to hear in this broadcast today the desperate voice of Modest with me. I want you to feel the fear, the panic, and the frustration that's tearing at her soul. It's only together when we raise our voices and bring awareness and condemn the evil that Iranians have any hope for a bright future, a new tomorrow, where the shackles and chains of a dictatorship government are finally torn away from their minds and from their hearts. That experience was just almost a year ago. I have the privilege of daily communicating with my Iranian friends. I have the privilege of writing their stories. And this latest book that's up on Amazon in Kindle and paperback, I really urge you, not for the sake of me, I'm not claiming to be a great writer, but for the sake of them, tell their story. It was just about 2 weeks ago, I was at a doctor's office with my wife, who's getting some physical therapy. And I was wearing my t-shirt, Woman, Life, and Freedom. and I wear it everywhere. It's a great conversation piece. And I'm sitting there minding my own business, and one of the therapists came by, and she said, woman, life, freedom. Wanted to know what that all meant. And so for about 10 minutes, I told her about Iran. I explained to her what the woman, life, and freedom movement is all about. I said, you know, the friendship I have with my Iranian friends are mostly women because I stand up for women's rights. And I explained to her just exactly how they're treated. And then I showed her on my cell phone. I said, look, I want to share this with you. Her name was Diane. I said, Diane, I really want you to read their stories. And if you have some free time, because I know you're busy, you're a physical therapist, please get to know them in a personal way. It's one thing to hear the stories from me. It's one thing to listen to this radio broadcast, and I want you to. It's one thing to listen to my podcast, but I want you to get to know them even more so by reading their stories. In Uprising, their stories are there. It's written in a story format. It's like a novel. I take you behind the scenes of their last day of their life. For instance, the story of Hadas Najafi, and it's called this. And listen very carefully. Hottest herring for battle. What's that mean? When she went out to protest after hearing about the tragic death of Mahsa Amini, she went out and she's untying her, excuse me, she's tying up her hair. She's got this long, beautiful blonde hair. She's tying it up in a ponytail because she's preparing for battle. This is what women have to go through in Iran. This is what they face every day for the simple right to choose. This is what women in Iran go through. And you may not be able to understand, because we live here in the West and we have everything so easily handed to us. Yes, we fight for our freedoms. Yes, we have a corrupt government, but we still have freedom. And you're not going out in the streets afraid that if you don't wear your hijab, you'll be killed. But they do that in Iran, not just with the hijab, but with everything. The laws of Iran are against women, and they're for men. It's just that simple. So please, my request is always going to be the same. You heard today from Masih Alinejad. You listened to my story. Please join me in praying for them and being their voice. Please get my book up on Amazon and support them and read their stories, Uprising. We are the revolution. I want to say God bless you. Have a great rest of the week. Keep safe. And, of course, join me again on Monday for another edition of The Cross in the Desert, 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you. I will see you next Monday on The Cross in the Desert.